You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
As you know, not everything's right in the nation at all times, and one thing that we do suffer from in this country is being told that we're not the right size, we're not the right weight, we're not the right look, we're not the right, we're just not right. And New Zealand kids tend to really get stuck on that and tend to really have issues with it, as you probably all know, or can at least see. Joining me in the studio is Miriam Jacoby and Kelly Lavender. Hi, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hello.
And you guys are involved in a documentary just about to be released called Disorder. Tell us about that, Miriam, director.
Yes, well, Disorder is an intimate insight into the lives of seven Kiwis who have lived with eating disorders. So we interviewed a range of people who'd had lived with bulimia, anorexia, overeating, a real range of eating disorders, and they basically tell us their experience, and we also used original poetry and animation in the documentary.
Wow. So what was, I mean, that's pretty intense. That's a pretty intense topic to take on board, because there's a lot of responsibility when you're talking about a topic like that.
Absolutely. There was massive responsibility, and we consulted with a range of people, including Kelly, on the documentary to make sure that it was a safe environment and that we really looked after everyone. And one of the kind of, I guess, rules that we came up with was that everyone had to have had been recovered for a period of time if they were to be in the documentary.
And what defines recovered in, for someone who's got an eating disorder?
I think if you talk to different people, they would define it differently.
Yeah.
But for me, as a clinician working with people with eating disorders, I consider recovery having no eating disorder. So
right.
I aim for 100%.
So, but it's not the sort of thing that can sort of linger in the background and pop up again, or
it can if you don't actually get the right treatment initially.
Right. Right. So when you started trying to assemble. What was your interest in it, Miriam? What was the reason that you wanted to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I went to an all-girls high school. I
knew and there's your answer.
I knew a lot of people who had suffered from eating disorders. I had a real, had a lot of people close to me who had been through it, and I really wanted to have a different conversation about eating disorders.
How old when you first sort of noticed people around you?
13.
I'm surprised it was even that old. I would have thought it might have been even younger than that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe my awareness wasn't there, but I think it can come. I mean, there are definitely ages where it seems to be more prominent, but it can come at any age.
And so by taking it on board, you sort of, you mean you, is this like an instructional documentary on how people should make the way through an eating disorder, or is it just letting people know that there are a lot of New Zealanders that are suffering from this?
It's definitely a documentary that I hope can tell people that they're not alone. I don't think there's any one way to recover. Every person's journey is completely different. So there's no instructions. It's more about, this is the emotional experience of living with an eating disorder, and yeah, you're not alone.
Kelly, tell us about how about the different disorders and how they sort of present differently, and you know how we've come about to end up being a nation riddled with eating disorders.
Yes, well, there's a lot of myths about eating disorders, and I think that's what the documentary touches on so well, in that eating disorders are an illness. They are a brain-based disorder, so they're not a choice. It's not someone who decides to wake up one day and say, well, I'm going to get anorexia or I'm going to get bulimia. So I think
I think we need to sort of explain what anorexia and bulimia are, because some people might not know. Some people may have those disorders and not know that they have them, you know?
Well, that's probably quite a long conversation.
Okay.
But on average, just to answer your other question, anorexia's average age of onset is around 14. Average age of onset for bulimia is a little bit older, around 16, and binge eating a little bit older than that, so 16, 17.
So anorexia is essentially starving yourself and not wanting to eat and not having any desire to eat. But bulimia is eating but then throwing up again. Is that right? Or
yes.
Purging, that's
what. Yes. I mean, in a simplified kind of way, I think overall how we can understand eating disorders in that it is a genetic-based illness. So if we talk
it
about
is genetic, yeah.
a genetic brain-based illness, and not everybody has the genetic makeup to get anorexia. But what happens during adolescence, of course, is, and this is influenced by social cultural ideas, about the idea of dieting.
Yeah.
So it's actually the dieting process and weight loss process which actually can trigger a really dangerous disorder such as anorexia.
And but we've known that for a wee while now. Why do we still let it happen? Why do we still let the environment behave the way it does? You know, like, why don't we shut it down?
I think there's a powerful force, and there's a very big, I mean, part of being an adolescent is forming your identity and finding a space and finding out who you are, wanting to be liked, wanting to be part of the group, which is normal. And part of that, of course, is our self-worth is made up of how we look and how we think we look to others. So it's a natural process, and not every adolescent will actually end up getting an eating disorder. However, for some who are vulnerable in terms of potentially the genetic predisposition, perhaps some personality traits, more maybe perfectionistic, or having these kind of traits that in certain environments would be very beneficial, once the kind of eating disorder behaviours attach themselves to those personality traits, it actually works against them.
Yeah. Is there a difference in, you know, like the notes you've given us here, you sort of mentioned the difference in generations. Mm-hmm. You know, the way that, come on, tuck yourself in, you know, well, that shirt makes you look fat. You know, like the way you sort of older generation will sort of, you know, say, you're not looking right, now you look right, sort of thing. Is that changing? I mean, the modern, say, 14-year-old kid is surrounded by a dazzling array of media pressure, you know, but it's different to the weird sort of pressure that you would have felt 50 years ago, you know, but it's still there, isn't it? It's still the same sort of
it is, and it's just a different
uncertainty.
That's, you know, right, and it's just a different format, if you like.
Yeah.
But I guess social media opens up a much broader spectrum, if you like, of kind of being able to see what other people are like. You know, Instagram, see these kind of perfect ideals. Mm. So the pressure might become more. In terms of research, actually, the statistics around prevalence have not increased.
Right, cool.
So, and it's across ethnicities, it's across social cultural kind of, so there's no, I think the myth of that it was a, you know, a rich white girl kind of illness is just completely untrue.
It's not just a girl illness, is it?
No, definitely not.
So did you talk to some guys in the doc as well?
I talked with a couple of guys, but in the documentary, Jack Barry talked about his journey, and I think it was really important to us to have a range of diversity, because you're right, people think of an eating disorder and they think of one thing or one type of person, which isn't true, which is why in the documentary it was really important for me to find a range of diverse people.
And what sort of things, once you started assembling the documentary and putting it together, what sort of things were starting to really blow your mind?
I think the one thing,
the stuff you weren't ready for.
I think the thing that was the hardest was everyone talked about a point that Kelly was talking about when they'd, you know, lost a bit of weight, were on that journey, and then were reinforced by everyone in their life saying, you're looking amazing, you're looking so skinny, you're looking this, you're looking that, and how that then fueled them. I think I hadn't quite realised the power of what we say about each other's bodies and food matters, and I think it's made me realise we really need a, you know, re-look at how we talk about our food and bodies to each other and ourselves, because that was the point for everyone, seemed to be a tipping point when everyone was saying, oh, you're looking amazing, and I felt like I had more friends and I was popular.
Oh, it's scary. That's really unsettling, the way you describe that.
Yeah, it is unsettling, but I'm not sure that it's conscious a lot of the time. You know, we see something and we comment on it without thinking. I mean, since doing this documentary, I've had to catch myself at times where I've gone to say something because it's built into us. You know, you want a compliment, of course, that's in us. But
and then on the news, they'll say something like, we're a nation of obese kids, you know, something like that. So everyone's going to look better if you look better, you know, something.
Yeah, and it's a really, I worked with a mentor on the project as well, Juliet Weber, and she was amazing. And she has some young children, and we had a lot of conversations about how do you teach about healthy eating. I mean, one of the young women in the documentary talked about...
Let me just say...
Yeah. Well, one of the young women in the documentary talked about how it was the food pyramid that first triggered her. She saw the food pyramid and was like, oh, I can control what I eat by what I put in my mouth. Those were her words.
Shit.
Yeah, and crazy. It was a completely positive attempt. Yeah. And we can't not talk about, we need to look after yeah. ourselves. So it's a really tricky area.
Yeah. Well, it's a brave thing to do, a documentary. Where can people see it?
They can see it on Facebook, on the Outlook for Someday page. They can see it on our website,
What's the name of the page? Outlook for Someday?
Outlook for Someday, yep. Or on our website, www.disorderdocumentary.com. And there's a lot of other stuff on there as well, interviews and things.
Hey, Kelly and Marion, thanks very much for coming in. That's awesome that you guys have done that. And I hope it helps, and I hope it enlightens people to what's going on with eating disorders in New Zealand.
Thank you. Right, thank you very much.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.